Ever feel like starting a new fantasy series is kind of like agreeing to climb a mountain?
Yeah, I can see that.
Well, today's deep dive, we're definitely scaling Mount Everest because we're tackling Robert Jordan's The Wheel of Time,
The whole thing.
all 14 books, and the prequel.
Oh, we're gonna need some serious climbing gear for that.
Don't worry, I've got the metaphorical ropes and carabiners.
Yeah.
And hey, we're not trying to exhaust you with like every single detail, okay? Think of this as a guided tour.
Right, a guided
Yeah.
tour.
Of the most jaw-dropping peaks and hidden crevasses of this epic world.
Exactly. Because even just like a basic understanding of the core ideas of the Wheel of Time, it can really change how you see fantasy as a whole, you know?
I totally agree, it's true.
It's like you get this key to a secret door in a library, and suddenly, bam, you're seeing all these connections and possibilities you never even imagined before.
Okay, so let's set the scene, all right. Imagine a world where history isn't a straight line, but more like a constantly spinning wheel.
Okay, I like that.
Empires rise and fall, heroes are reborn.
Reborn. Okay.
Yeah, and even the ultimate evil, like, can't escape the turning of the wheel of time.
And this isn't just some cool background detail, right? It's like this cyclical nature of time in this world, it impacts the characters directly. It makes them question if anything is truly avoidable, you know? Like, do they even have free will, or are they just playing out these roles that they were like always destined for?
Man, talk about pressure. And speaking of pressure, let's talk about magic in this world. Forget like waving a wand or something, okay? Imagine a power that's like woven into the fabric of existence itself.
Okay, I'm with you. Keep going.
This force called the One Power. But here's the catch. It's split into two halves, Sed and Sedar, one for men, one for women.
And what's really fascinating is that this division, it's not just about magic, okay? This is reflected in the world's societies, its power dynamics, even in the gender roles.
That's true, yeah.
Jordan really, he dives deep into these complexities of a world where men and women, they experience power in such different ways.
All right, so we've got this super intricate world, right? With a ticking clock practically built into its very fabric, and a magic system with some like serious implications. Now, let's drop into the middle of it all, okay? We're whisked away to the Two Rivers, this seemingly simple region where life moves to the rhythm of the seasons. And it's here that we meet a group of friends who are about to have their world totally flipped upside down.
And it all kicks off with a prophecy, one that's been whispered for generations, foretelling the return of the Dragon Reborn. He's a hero who can either save the world or completely break it.
Dude, talk about a lot to unpack, right? Okay, so we've got Rand, our main character, who discovers he might actually be this dragon reborn. Then there's Matt, the ultimate prankster, always getting into and out of trouble. Perrin, he's the strong, silent type, always wrestling with something much bigger than himself. Egwene, fiercely independent, determined to forge her own path. And Nynaeve, who can spot a lie from a mile away and has absolutely zero patience for anyone's nonsense.
And this is where the Wheel of Time really starts to subvert that whole chosen one trope, you know? Because Rand, he isn't just some shiny hero. He's the reincarnation of Luz Theron Telamon, this legendary figure who ultimately went mad trying to save the world from the Dark One.
Hold on, rewind. Who is this Dark One? Is he like the big bad, the Sauron of this world?
Yeah, kind of. But think of the Dark One more as this like primordial force of chaos. He's been in prison for ages, right? But he's always trying to break free and plunge the world into darkness. And here's the really scary part. He tainted Citadin, the male half of the One Power. That's why any man who can channel it risks going mad.
So not only does Rand have to learn to control a powers that could literally fry his brain, but he also has to deal with this prophecy. This legacy of madness hanging over him. Man, that's intense. It's like having this, like, sword hanging over his head, you know? And it can fall at any moment.
Yeah, it's a lot.
But here's the thing I find so fascinating.
Yeah.
It's not just Rand's burden to bear, right?
Right.
Like, the series doesn't just focus on him, the chosen one. It really delves into the lives of all these amazing characters around him, too.
Exactly. And it's through those other characters that we get to explore, like all these different facets of Jordan's world.
Right.
Take Nynaeve, for example.
Oh, I love Nynaeve.
She's great. We mentioned her sharp wit and that no-nonsense attitude,
Yeah.
but she's also incredibly powerful in her own right. She is an Aes Sedai.
Okay, so we know the One Power is split into Sedain and Sedar, but what does that actually look like for the women who can channel? Do they have to worry about going mad like the men who can channel Sedain?
That's the really interesting part. While Sedain is tainted, Sadar is bound to the pattern.
The pattern?
Yeah, so it's like this intricate web of destiny, right? It governs the world.
Mm-hmm.
So Aes Sedai, they don't face that same risk of madness, but they are very aware of these threads of fate that are kind of like pulling at them.
So it's less about raw power and more about like navigating this balance.
Exactly. And the Aes Sedai, they're not just some mystical group hanging out in a tower somewhere.
Right, they're involved.
They have their own political structures, their own rivalries, and they're deeply involved in the world's affairs. Think of them as this powerful force, but they have their own internal conflicts and agendas.
Whoa, so it's like having these magic users who are also playing this high-stakes game of chess.
Yeah, something like that.
With the fate of the world at stake. That's intense. And where do our other characters fit into all of this? We've got Matt, Perrin, Egwene. They're not just along for the ride, are they?
No, they're definitely not just along for the ride. They each have their own path to forge, you know?
Yeah.
Their own strengths and weaknesses to deal with.
Right, their own struggles.
Take Perrin, for example. He discovers he has this deep connection to wolves.
Interesting.
Almost like a primal ability to communicate with them. But this connection, it also comes with this, like, darkness, this savagery that he has to constantly keep in check.
It's like everyone in this world is wrestling with something, right? Whether it's a prophecy, a power they don't understand, or even just figuring out who they're supposed to be, especially in the middle of all this chaos. And that brings me to another thing I love about the Wheel of Time. It's not just about the big battles and epic confrontations.
That's true.
It's about those smaller human moments that we get in between.
Exactly. And honestly, I think that's what elevates this series beyond your average fantasy, you know?
Yeah.
Jordan takes the time to really develop these characters. He shows us their vulnerabilities, their relationships, even their flaws. Mm-hmm. And it makes you connect with them on a deeper level because of that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got these amazing characters, this world that's constantly in motion, and this incredibly detailed magic system with real consequences. But I feel like there's also something else going on here, right? Like some bigger questions that Jordan is exploring through all of this.
You're totally right. The Wheel of Time is full of these really thought-provoking themes that stay with you.
Like what?
Well, we already talked about the cyclical nature of time, but there's also this constant exploration of the balance of power.
Right. And it's not just about, like, who can wield the one power.
No, exactly. We see it everywhere in the relationships between men and women and how different cultures approach power, their political systems, even just in their daily lives. Jordan, he really makes you stop and think about who truly holds the power in any situation, how they choose to use it, and what happens when that balance gets thrown out of whack.
It's like he's holding up this mirror to our own world, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Making us really look at those same dynamics playing out in our own lives, even if it's not always with, like, literal magic and stuff.
Exactly. And then there's this theme that runs through the entire series, this idea of consequences.
Ooh, yeah. Actions definitely have weight in this world, that's for sure.
Totally. Characters are constantly making choices, big and small, and they have to live with those ripple effects. And it's not always pretty, let me tell you.
That's something I think we can all relate to, though, right? Like that feeling in the pit of your stomach, knowing your choices matter, that we're all shaping our own destinies, even when it feels like we don't have all the answers.
Absolutely. And that's what makes the Wheel of Time so powerful, I think. It's about the human experience at its core, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's about those struggles, the triumphs, the things we all go through, just trying to figure things out, even if it happens to be in a world with magic and prophecies and ancient evils trying to break free.
Okay, so just to recap here, we've got this incredible world that's constantly turning these amazing characters who are so complex and relatable, and all these thought-provoking themes that really make you look at the world a little differently.
We've barely even scratched the surface.
I know, right? But let's be real for a second. 14 books. And a prequel. That can seem like a pretty daunting commitment for someone who's new to this world.
Yeah, I can see that.
So for those listeners out there who might be feeling a little intimidated, what would you say is the biggest reason to just take the plunge? Why should they make time for the Wheel of Time?
Because it's an experience unlike any other. I truly believe that. Jordan created this world that's so rich and immersive, you just get completely lost in it. And his characters, they stay with you long after you finish the last page, I promise you. It's a story about friendship, about love, about good versus evil, obviously. But it's also about finding balance in a world that often feels chaotic.
And it's a story that has resonated with readers, I mean, literally for decades. So whether you're like a seasoned fantasy fan or just looking for your next literary obsession, I think The Wheel of Time offers this really captivating escape into a world that will challenge you, it will inspire you, it will make you think.
And hey, if the sheer size of the series still feels like a lot, just remember, you don't have to climb the entire mountain range in one go. Take your time with it, savor the journey, let yourself get swept away by the magic of The Wheel of Time.
Beautifully said. It's like we've given our listeners a map and a compass to navigate this incredible world that Jordan created. They've gotten the lay of the land, they know the key players, and they have a sense of the epic scope of it all.
And maybe, just maybe, we've sparked a little curiosity in some of our listeners, given them a reason to want to explore this world for themselves.
And that's really what this deep dive is all about, isn't it? Because The Wheel of Time isn't just a series of books. It's a conversation starter. Mm-hmm. It's a springboard for exploring these big ideas, these universal truths that we all grapple with.
So the next time you're looking for a story that will transport you, one that will stay with you long after you've read that last page, remember, The Wheel of Time, it keeps turning. Ages come and pass, leaving memories that fade into legend.
And sometimes, all it takes is a single turn of the wheel to change your whole perspective.